And this morning, I thought that I would encourage us a little bit with a lesson on evangelism. Because as Jesus told us to do in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, we're to be taking the gospel to the whole world. We're to be making disciples. We're to be teaching. We're to be baptizing. That's what Jesus told us he wanted us to do. And this morning, I thought we would look a little bit at the Apostle Paul and see his example of evangelism. And the question that we're asking in the beginning of this lesson today is this: how did Paul evangelize? You know, the Apostle Paul was a tremendous evangelist. He loved Jesus, and he wanted people to know more about him. He especially wanted his own countrymen to know about Jesus. He said as much in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire for them is that they might be saved." And he was talking about his Jewish brethren there. And we have our own countrymen, so to speak, as well. Those who live in our communities, those friends and family of ours that we know who are not Christians, we need to be taking the message of the gospel to them. Paul was a good example on how to evangelize others. And I thought that we would take a look at his example and then draw some lessons from that this morning on how we could take his example and then practically apply it to our life as well. Let's open with Acts chapter 17 and verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 17 and verses 1 through 4. And just read these verses looking at the method of evangelism that the Apostle Paul used. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas." When we look at this passage, we see just one example of the Apostle Paul's work at evangelizing others. But he had a very definite method. How did the Apostle Paul evangelize? Well, that's what we want to look at this morning. First of all, we're going to see that he talked to his countrymen. Secondly, we're going to see that he found commonalities. Third, for Jesus, he endured controversy. And then finally, we see that Paul preached Jesus as the Christ boldly and without reservation. So let's talk about these things. And our primarily this morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. And so you might just want to leave your Bibles open here in Acts 17. And then you can flip back and forward with me in the book of Acts as we think about Paul's methods of evangelism. Well, first of all, the Apostle Paul definitely talked to his countrymen. That is, his practice was that in whatever city that he went into, one of the first things he did was go to a synagogue of the Jews. Now, what was a synagogue? A synagogue was a place where Jews gathered together on the Sabbath day, usually, to study the Scriptures and to worship God, and to talk about the Bible. And they did this as a matter of getting along with each other, as a matter of having something to do on Saturday, which was typically their day off. You know, the Jews took Saturday off. They studied the Bible. They talked. It was like having a Bible class or something like that. And they would get together and they would discuss these things. So that was a natural opportunity for the Apostle Paul to go in and to talk to his fellow countrymen about the message of the gospel. And so that was one of the first things that he did. And when he went in, he preached Jesus. And he preached Jesus until they told him they didn't want him to preach Jesus anymore there. We see that he did this in Acts chapter 13 and verse 5 at the city of Salamis. He did it in Acts 13 and verse 14 at the city of Antioch, which was in Pisidia. He did it in Acts 14:1 at the city of Iconium. In Acts 17:1, the passage we just read, he did it here at the city of Thessalonica. He did the same thing in Berea and in Corinth and in Ephesus. And over again, it was his practice to go to the Jews first, as he said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. But then, if the Jews would not listen to what he had to say, he would turn to the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 13, just for a moment. Acts chapter 13, and starting in verse 42. It says, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Verse 48 then says, "Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed." And so you see, Paul went to his own countrymen first, but he didn't stop there. Oh yes, he went to those he knew best, his kinsmen, his fellow Jew, his countrymen. But then as opportunities came up further, he would go even beyond that. And if the Jews did not accept the teaching, then he would turn to the Gentiles. Question for us this morning: do we love our own kinsmen enough, as Paul loved his kinsmen, to tell them about Jesus? Maybe there are some people in our family, or maybe among our friends in our neck of the woods, so to speak, that we need to go to and talk to about Jesus. Are we doing that? Are we following Paul's example of talking to our friends and neighbors and relatives? Are we taking advantage of those opportunities first? That is how we ought to be approaching the practice of evangelism. Talking to those we know first, and then going beyond to those who are outside our circle of people that we know. That was Paul's practice, and that should be ours as well. Secondly, when Paul went to evangelize others, he tried to find commonalities. Commonalities. So, for example, in Acts chapter 17 here, as he went into Thessalonica, he went to a place where people gathered to worship. This was something that was common, something that those in that area participated in. As we turn to other places in the book of Acts, for example, when the Apostle Paul went into the church at Philippi in Acts chapter 16, and verses 1 and following, or verses 1 through 15, we see that eventually he came to Philippi, and there was a lady named Lydia. And where was Lydia at? She was down by the river worshiping with some others. And so that's what Paul looked for. There was not a synagogue in Philippi, and so he looked for those who were worshiping, even though they weren't at a synagogue. And he went down to the river. And why did he do that? Because that was something they had in common. They both were concerned about religious matters. And so when he encountered Lydia there by the river and she was worshiping, they were able to strike up a conversation about some things that they had in common. But Paul didn't limit it to just, his fellow Jewish people that he had things in common with. Paul also reached out to those who had things in common in other ways. Like, for example, if you turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, notice what it says there. Now, while Paul waited for them, that is Timothy and Silas, while he waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Now, it's not that Paul had things in common with idols. He was not an idolater or anything like that. But he took advantage of the situation. He saw an idol there that was marked to the unknown God. And then Paul took that idol that was marked to the unknown God as an opportunity to preach the God that obviously the city of Athens did not know. And which God was that? It was the God of the Bible. It was Yahweh. It was Jesus. And so when he did that, he found something that they had in common, that is, this idol to the unknown God, and then he used that as an opportunity then to tell them about the message of the gospel. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 23, that's exactly what he does. And he says, "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. The one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." And he was able then to use that as a stepping point to talk about some other things. When Paul was before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse 3, one of the first things that he said to Agrippa was that he was an expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. You see, so he used commonalities that he had with Agrippa as well to introduce to Agrippa the message of the gospel. When we go to talk to people about the message of the gospel, we need to use things we have in common with them as well. And sometimes that can be things such as the opportunities that we take to worship. But it doesn't necessarily have to be those things. It could be our culture, our environment. It could be some of the things that we do as a culture. For example, yesterday there were many college football games on the television set, and we might use that as an opportunity to introduce ourselves to someone and to talk to them a little bit about those common interests, and then move from there to talking about what we're going to do on Sunday and how we're going to worship God and how we're going to gather together with the church in order to remember the death of Jesus on the cross. And so that would be a great opportunity for us to use some of the commonalities that we have with others to introduce them to the church. And these commonalities then give us an opportunity to talk about the gospel. And so, how did Paul evangelize? Number two, he found commonalities. And we need to do that as well. Well, number three, we're going to see that once Paul began evangelizing, that he endured controversy. And he did this for Jesus. Paul became a Christian, as you know, after Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And then he went into the city of Damascus. And there, Ananias found him, and Ananias said to him in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." And from that time forth, Paul began preaching and teaching Jesus as the Christ. And he even did so there in the city of Damascus after he became a Christian. If you look at Acts chapter 9, and verses 22 through 25, you see another example of Paul practicing evangelism. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 22, it says, "But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ." Now look at verses 23 and following. "Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. Paul was preaching and teaching Jesus so much that the Jews in that city started to recognize him as a threat, and they decided to eliminate him. Well, Paul endured that controversy, and he escaped the city of Damascus in a basket. We see that just about everywhere Paul went, because he was preaching and teaching Jesus, there was controversy. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 46, in Antioch of Pisidia, the Bible says, "Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles.'" And there he had controversy among those who were his countrymen. In Acts 14, in verses 14 through 20, we see that upon preaching the gospel, Paul was left for dead. In Acts chapter 16, he was put in jail in the city of Philippi. In Acts chapter 17, he was taken to the Areopagus to be heard. That's a place where they judged matters. And then he was summarily rejected by most of the Athenians. In Acts chapter 18, he was brought before the proconsul Gallio, a Roman senator. In Acts chapter 19, there was a riot in Ephesus because of Paul's preaching and teaching. And finally, in Acts chapter 20 and following, the Jews in Jerusalem desired to kill him. And he ultimately had to appeal to Caesar to escape from being delivered back into their hands. Oh yes, the Apostle Paul was no stranger to controversy. He wasn't going anywhere to pick a fight, so to speak, but he didn't shy away from preaching and teaching Jesus, even though that meant that some might disagree with him. Now, when we take the message of the gospel to others, we should expect that there are going to be some who disagree with us. And even though they disagree with us, that is no reason for us not to preach and teach the gospel. We need to be about the business of telling others about Jesus anyway. We need to be talking to them about his death and his sacrifice. We need to be telling them about his plan for our salvation. We need to be inviting them to come with us to church so that we can remember him and the sacrifice that he made on the cross. Yes, Paul preached Jesus as the Christ, and that meant that he was going to be involved in some controversy. When we encounter disagreements, we need not to let that discourage us, but rather encourage us, because in so doing, we are following Paul's example. But then finally, we see that in Paul's evangelism, he preached Jesus as the Christ boldly. That is, he said in Romans chapter 1 in verses 16 and 17, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He was not ashamed, and he boldly went out and told others about Jesus. In Acts 9 and verse 20, there, a passage we just read, it says he immediately preached in the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. In Acts 13, 38 through 39, he said to there, "Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man," that is Jesus, "is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." In Acts 17, in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.'" In Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, we read that he said these words, truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked. But now he commands that all men everywhere repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Again, he preached to those Athenians who were skeptics and atheists and even agnostics that Jesus was the Christ and that God had raised him from the dead and that they were going to be judged by him. That was bold proclamation of Jesus. In Acts 18 and verse 5, it says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And in Acts 18 and verse 28, at Ephesus, where his preaching stirred up a literal riot, it says that he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Paul preached Jesus as the Christ. And that is the essential message of what we need to be telling others about Jesus as well. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is able to save us from our sins, the one through whom we can receive forgiveness, the one who now sits at the right hand of the throne of God, the one who is one day coming back and going to judge all nations. Isn't it important that we should listen to his word? Isn't it important that we ought to think about the things that he wants us to think about? Isn't it crucial and necessary then for us to understand what it means that Jesus is the Christ? Yes, of course it is. And that is exactly the message that we need to be talking to with others. How did Paul evangelize? I submit to you this morning that here is a great, simple, four-step method for taking the gospel to those around us in the world today. First of all, he talked to his countrymen, and that's what we need to do. Go to our fellow countrymen as well and talk to them. Secondly, he found commonalities, things that they had in common with each other. And he used that then as a springboard to discuss the message of the gospel. Number three, he endured controversy. That is, he did not allow the possibility that there might be a disagreement to dissuade him from taking the message of the gospel to others. And finally, he preached Jesus as the Christ. The Apostle Paul was always on message. He always knew what needed to be said. And he always brought the discussion back to Jesus, somehow and some way. And that's what we need to do as well. We have great opportunities before us. This congregation is a great congregation, and it is growing. We have endured the loss of some of our friends and brethren here over the past couple of years. Some have moved away and are no longer with us, and that was their choice. There are others who have moved in, and there are some who have come who are wonderful, fine Christians who have joined us here, and we are excited for that. But we need to be continuing on the path of growth by evangelizing those around us. The gospel meeting we have coming up in a couple of weeks is a great opportunity for us to do just that, to invite our friends and neighbors to come and hear more about the church. Is this congregation going to be here in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, in 50 years from now? I pray to God that it will be, and that it will be a bright, shining light of truth, pointing to Jesus Christ for all of those in this community, and that they would know that the message of truth is being preached here at the New Boston Church of Christ, and that if they wanted truth, that they would know exactly where they would need to go to get it. And so will we look to that future and do the things that we need to do right now in order to ensure that future will happen? Will we follow Paul's example? Will we take the gospel to our friends and neighbors and relatives around us so that they might hear and obey the message of Jesus? What is that message that Jesus has for us to take to them today? It is that He loves them, that He died on the cross for them, that He is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and that He has all authority. And with all authority, He then commands them to obey the gospel. How does one obey the gospel? He must hear the message of Jesus. He must believe it. He must confess that Jesus is the Christ after having repented of his sins, and he must be baptized for the forgiveness of his sins into Christ Jesus. That is what Jesus commands today, and that is the message that we must bring to others. Do you need to obey the message of Jesus this morning? If so, now is a great time to do just that. Do you need the prayers of the church so that you can be a greater evangelist in our community? Then you may ask for those now as well, while together we stand and while we sing.